Okay. Episode 3, Realty Growth Report. I'm Tan with RGI, and today I have with me Nick Pompain, owner of Realty Growth.
Oh, yeah, I guess. I mean, this is cool, right? Thanks for having me this morning. This is really awesome. I've never been on a podcast or really a radio. Actually, that's a lie. I've been on a radio broadcast before. I was in high school, and I went on like KFAN for the track team. I was not very good at track, so it was just kind of embarrassing that they actually had me talk about it. It's just like, oh.
What did you talk about?
Well, they were just like, well, I was their team captain, and it was just like, once again, I don't know why, other than because I wasn't very good at track, but I think it was just more of, hey, he's our captain, and he's a good leader, so we should probably have him on.
You're the spokesman.
Yeah, I guess. I guess that's the way to look at it. I got it. Yeah.
Cool. You were captain. I could see you being captain of a team.
Yeah, it was just motivating. Yeah, you know, I was just a motivator. I was just a motivator. That was it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So today, I thought we'd start our little chat about maybe a little bit about the market.
Sure.
You know, I respect you've got a very strong pulse on the market. And what are some trends that you've noticed is going into 2020 now?
Sure. So, I mean, I think over the past few years, Rochester's really seen an influx. Specifically, Rochester market has seen an influx in new buyers and new people to the market, which is really interesting. You know, I was born and raised in Rochester, just like Bucky, and I know Dylan lived very close by in Owatonna. And so we have some people that are very local to the market. But growing up here and growing up in the real estate market, we've started to see things that we've never really seen before, specifically in probably the last 5 years, mainly due to, I would say, obviously the Mayo Clinic and Destination Medical Center. So, you know, with that, there's come a lot of excitement and a lot of new individuals and organizations to Rochester, which has been actually pretty cool to see. You know, I was just actually talking about this last night. I went to dinner with my wife and a few of her colleagues, and you know, they asked, well, gosh, you were born and raised here, have you seen a lot of changes? I said, yeah, there's been a lot of changes, and I believe it's for the better. You know, it's always difficult to have change. But with a growing city like what we have, I think it's really important. But it needs to be done correctly, and it needs to be done thoughtfully. So the market in general, though, with all of that, right, it's caused a little bit of a frenzy, I think. And I think we all see that, right? Mm-hmm. And I think you've seen it in your, you know, few months that you've been working with us and being here in Rochester. And I know other people have seen that as well, where there really isn't a whole lot on the market, you know, and it forces us then to go find other ways to find property, which is essentially just knocking on doors, making phone calls and saying, hey, Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so, would you consider selling your property? Yeah, there's just been a lot of interest. And with that interest, prices have gone up considerably. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that has caused, to me, it has caused some stagnation in the market, I think. There's still deals getting done. Obviously we see that, they're at higher prices and, lower cap rates or returns. But people seem to be okay with that. And it's an interesting market. I mean, that's what I usually tell people. It's a really interesting market. So, you know, is the market hot? I would say, I don't know if it's hot.
I think it's right? Important too. What is hot?
Right.
You know, if hot means prices are high, then yes, then it's melting.
You got it.
But if hot means lots of transactions, lots of movement, correct, then I would say no.
You got it. And it's definitely a seller's market. And I think like we have seen it. I know we all talk about it at our Thursday meetings. It's like, oh my gosh, we have all these buyers. We have all these buyers. We have all these buyers. And I think a lot of people are going through that same thing. It's the classic in economics, right? Economics 101, supply and demand, right? I didn't take an econ class at all, but I do know supply and demand, right? So there's a lot of demand and there's not a lot of supply. And, you know, the things that we have on the market, a lot of that inventory has been on the market for a while. And I think, for consumers and things like that, they look at that and they say, oh, there must be something wrong with the property. And it's like, well, that's not always the case, right? It might be pricing. It might be this. Right. It might be that. We don't know, right? You got to, until you can actually delve into the property itself and get the all the information that you need.
Right.
But yeah, no, it's a really interesting time in the market.
So before we get too far, one thing you said was, you know, you've seen a lot of change in the market, and to people that are from here, it can be a little jarring, some of the changes. So what are some, do you have any specific examples of things that have come or are have come to pass or are about to come to pass that have kind of shook the locals a little bit?
Yeah, no, I think it's just like a new way of a new wave of development, thinking bigger. More density. So thinking like a larger city. Now, I'm not saying that that's the right way to do things or the wrong way to do things. I think it is important, especially, you know, land is something that we can't make more of. It's one of those things. It's like time, right? We can't make more time. We also can't make more land unless we live in, you know, the Middle East and can build islands in the middle of oceans and things like that. But here in Rochester, Minnesota, we can't do that, right? And so, you know, it can be a scary thing, but it doesn't have to be a scary thing. You know, you see these new developers coming in, and I think that sometimes scares people because they say, well, you're not from Rochester. Now, we didn't have most of the development that went on was local development up until, I'm not joking, probably I would say within the last 5 to 6 years, it was local developers who were doing things. And that's what people were used to, right? It was, oh, I know that person and that person. They've done a lot of development here. And but it's not always about that. And you like to keep local and things like that. But if in order for us to grow as a city you know, help that engine, the engine that keeps going is Mayo, and we're all here because of that. You know, in order to keep bringing in talent and retaining talent, which is also a really big deal in attracting more businesses and getting more diverse.
Some of that outside capital.
Yeah, we need that. We need those outside viewpoints that can come in with projects that we just can't conceive of, whether it's because we've never seen them, we've never done them, but also like the capital, the cost to do these developments, they're big. And local developers typically have not been able to do that. Whereas these national, international developers, you know, for the local developers, it's about getting a return. And you know, for those like the international groups and the national groups who are coming in and doing developments, it's not as much about the return as it is about just creating a great product. And obviously they want to return and they have a return that they need to hit, but it's typically not as high as someone like a Tanner Nordland or a Nick Pompeian who's looking to do a project would like to see, right?
Right.
And we also don't have the access to the capital that these other guys do. They're dealing with institutional money. We're talking life insurance companies. We're talking big banks. We're talking huge REITs that have millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. And that's why they can create these such amazing looking projects. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it is scary, right? We're going into a new age, okay? And there's a lot of what ifs. But this has been done before. And that's, you know, history repeats itself, right? It's not like we're in...
Other communities have experienced this type of growth before. And there's a track that's followed. So with that in mind, there's a lot of, you know, talk that I've heard, you know, since moving to the community about what Rochester's going to look like in the future and in the near future. I've heard a lot of talk. What does Nick think himself about maybe the next 10 years in Rochester?
Sure. No, I mean, obviously everybody, I want to ask you that question too, because I think it's an interesting question. And I think obviously everybody has their own opinions, but, you know, we're going to continue to grow and we're already seeing really cool things happening, like One Discovery Square. That's so cool. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember when I moved back here 8 years ago, I met with Rochester Area Economic Development, and I asked Gary Smith, he was the executive director. I said, you know, Gary, why can't we get, like, you know, there's probably tons of vendors that are here at Mayo, like, you know, the IBMs of the world, which obviously we still have IBM here, but like the Ciscos, the GEs, they're here probably every day, right? Like at the hospital, showing their equipment, doing this, doing that. Why can't we get them to come and set up an office here?
Right, more permanent.
And Gary's response to me was like, we're working on that. And it just takes time, right? It takes time to develop those relationships and get people used to Rochester and to understand that, man, Rochester is really a thriving ecosystem and there's a lot of potential here. And now we're finally seeing it, right? Like One Discovery Square is a perfect example of that, right? It's a great collaboration of... you know, companies and you know, the university is in there. So it's really cool. Like having Epic here, that's a game changer. Mm-hmm. With Google announcing that they're like, that's a game changer. Like that's super cool. And so honestly, I see that just continuing to happen because Rochester is becoming a, you know, destination medical center. That's exactly what they set out to do, right? They set out to create what I like to say the Mecca of Medicine here in Rochester, Minnesota, which is so cool. So I expect to see a lot more economic diversity. Now, obviously, we're centered around the medical field, which is great, but you can go in so many different directions, right? You can go into product development. You can go into software development. You can go into, you know, there's other things like what other inventions, medical inventions. I mean, there's so many things, you know, computer programming and things like that that relate to medicine, like, you know, biomedical, you know, you name it, right? There's just so much going on. So I think that's going to, that has been the catalyst, and I think it's starting, and I think we're just going to continue to see that. Then hopefully with that too, right? Well, we're going to need more attorneys. We're going to need more accountants. Mm-hmm. I just think you need something.
Service industry. Yeah, everything that's built out around that core.
And I think that's going to be really cool, and I think we're going to see a lot more of what, you know, people are looking for. You know, we always talk about, well, what are people looking for? You know, and everybody has their opinion on what we should have and what we need, and you know, I think it's just a thing that'll naturally happen as we go on. It's just, it takes patience and it takes time, and everything takes time, and you need to be patient.
Absolutely. So switching gears a little bit, what are there any listings that you have or are leasing that you think are, you know, a good deal or so that's one. And then the other question would be, what value do you see in the market? Like what would be a good value buy right now? Cause I know it's still a seller's market, obviously, yeah, are you seeing some value options?
Sure.
And maybe some of your own.
Yeah,
listings.
Sure. So, I mean, I think a lot of that has to do with, I think a lot of people these days are looking for something that they can, you know, add value to, right? We talk about value add properties, and a lot of people are looking for that because they say, okay, well, if I go after everybody's situation is different, right? So there's the people who, and you need to look at that. And that's what I try to hammer down with everyone, is that everybody has a different situation, right? There might be the people who say, I don't have time to do the value add stuff. I'm not interested in it. I don't have the time. Mm-hmm. I want something that is going to be quote unquote stable, right? So I want something that has a longer lease with a great tenant that I don't really have to worry about anything. But then there's those people that say, well, gosh, I really don't want that because I know I'll probably have to pay a premium for that. I would rather go after something that I could create some value by, you know, fixing it up or getting a new tenant, raising rents, things like that. Mm-hmm. So it just depends on what type of person that you're working with. And I think it's just a case-by-case basis. And so I think that a lot of people are looking for that value-add property right now.
It's just hard to find.
But it's hard to find. Yeah, you know. I mean, we're all struggling with that, right? Like, we have all these people that say, well, I don't want to necessarily pay the premium. They're still paying a higher price than what we've seen in years past for these, I don't even want to call them fixer-uppers, value-add properties.
Value-add properties, yeah.
But you can still make it work, right?
Yeah. What's your gut feeling on this coming summer? Do you think, you know, there's going to be more availability? Do you think things are going to get a little more balanced? Or do you kind of see the current trend maybe continuing for a while?
Yeah, so I think my opinion is that I think we've kind of plateaued on where we are at with pricing. Now, I could be completely wrong, right? So what do I know?
This is purely speculative.
This is purely speculative, right? Like, I feel like we've kind of plateaued. But what we do know is that real estate in general goes in trends, right? Mm-hmm. What goes up must come down, right?
Yeah.
And that's very true. I mean, you just look at the history, and it's a wave, you know? And so I think that we've plateaued, and nobody knows. I remember reading an article, which was really interesting, in the CCI magazine, probably 3 years ago. I mean, 3 years ago, that stated, it was really interesting because they made the analogy of, they felt that the real estate market as a whole for the nation, they were in the bottom of the ninth. We're in the bottom of the ninth, and things are going to turn. We don't know. We might go into extra innings, but we feel like we're in the bottom of the ninth, and this is it before we start seeing a correction. Well, that was 3 years ago, and we haven't seen that.
Yeah,
I mean, we're probably in the bottom of the 19th right now. You know what I mean? So it's like nobody knows, you know,
when
that's going to happen. And I think it's just, if you talk to financial advisors or people that deal with the stock market, things like that, the economy, I think they would tell you, well, you know, we're just waiting for that one big thing. It could be anything, right? Like right now,
it's an election year.
Yeah, it's an election year. We don't know how that's going to go. That's going to play a big role into this for sure. Because we don't know what the tax laws are going to be. So what we're going to have to see who wins the election. That's going to be a big deal because if,
especially in our industry, the taxes play such a huge role into what people want and when they want it.
So that could sway people one way or another, right? And whether or not, I need to dump my real estate or no, I'm going to keep it. The other thing is, you know, such as like the coronavirus, right? Like that's so now what we're dealing with today. Well, you know, was it Friday that the Dow dropped like 500 points, right? Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? Today it's up 450
it's up.
points.
Yeah.
We're higher over the last 2 days because I think yesterday it was like up like 130 points. Mm-hmm. So if you we're now currently up 80 points from where we were on Friday, I think it is, or something like that. It's like, what, you know, I don't know if there's any rhyme or reason, because you would think, oh my gosh, like on Friday, I was like, holy cow, this could be the thing that really starts slowing things down a little bit. And, you know, we don't know, you know, there's the world is kind of an unpredictable place.
Yeah.
And we just don't know how that's going to affect things.
So. Yep. What kind of trends, I guess, have you noticed, if any, between like the general state of the economy and then the kind of buyers and investors and clientele that we work with looking at commercial investment properties and different opportunities like that? Do you see any correlation between the Dow and what we're doing?
Yeah, I mean, obviously when the economy's up, right, everybody seems to be doing well with their properties. That's typically how it is, right? Because the economy is healthy and things like
Businesses are doing well, good tenants.
They're able to pay rent, things like that, right? So I think there definitely is some correlation. You know, what people get afraid of is when there's a downturn, but what you need to remember is, you know, we've been doing this for years and years and years, right? Like there has to be a correction. There has to be. Historically, it happens. And then we come back up, and, you know, usually when it goes down, people panic, right? And that's the natural reaction that people have. And, you know, the best thing is what, the Oracle, once said, you know, he says, you know, stay the course, right? Stay the course, you know, you know, obviously he's done quite well with all of his companies and things like that and his investments. And, you know, stay the course and don't panic if that happens. Because once again, if it goes down, it's going to go back up. I mean, it's going to. We don't know the severity. We don't know how long it might take. You know, the last recession, you know, that took a while. You know, that took quite a few years. But if you position yourself in a way where I truly believe where, you know, you pay off debt, you diversify. So, you know, don't just have all your eggs in one basket, right? I mean, these are
good,
you
know, solid, old school principles, adages that you should know.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and it's true, should follow. You know, like don't have all your eggs in the real estate investments. Don't have all your eggs in the stock market, like diversify and hopefully, you know, things will be okay and you're able to ride it out. You know, when the economy does go down, there's usually buying opportunities, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, interest rates could go up, which would then cause your property values to go down, which means that, you know, you're not going to get as much for the property. Things like that happen. And then it creates sometimes, you know, unfortunately, some people are over leveraged. So it could be a really bad time. That's why I said try to, you know, keep your debt low if you're able to, because you don't want to get in a position where you become upside down.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Are there any projects you're working on right now for yourself? Any of your personal investments, different kind of moves you're making? Maybe are you setting yourself up for maybe some price drops and making some moves in the future? Like, what are you doing right now?
So what I, you know, usually tell people is, once again, it's a case by case basis, but me personally, it's like, you know, I'm kind of holding on to cash. Like, you know, you look at opportunities, but you know, don't rush into anything just because of, once again, where pricing is at. But you know, it's a case by case basis. There's some people that, you know, for whatever reason, it could be a 1031 exchange, right? That they need to place some money and it's like, well, we got to do it. But once again, it's got to make sense. It has to make sense. Even at a 1031 exchange level, like, you know, geez, sometimes, you know, really talk to your accountant, talk to your attorney about it, because in the end, would you rather overpay for a property and have it not perform and potentially, you know, take that risk? Or is it better just to pay the tax and be done with it, you know? So, you know, right now, just in general, of course, you know, looking at development projects, right? Like, I know that we kind of talked about it at our last week meeting about doing a smaller project together. But you got to be ready for that. And you have to make sure that you have all the pieces of the puzzle put together before you actually go ahead. Because once again, all this is a risk, right? There's no guarantees in life, and there's definitely no guarantees in investing in real estate. I think a lot of people have a common misconception that, you know, real estate, oh my gosh, you must be making so much money, and that's not necessarily true. It's a risk. And but the thing that I like about real estate in particular is that it's a calculated risk, right? Mm-hmm. And I think you have a little bit more control outside of the market things, but you have a little bit more control, right? Like, oh, I can choose if I want to raise rents, or I can choose to do this or that, right? So I think you have a little bit more control when it comes to real estate. But yeah, I mean, obviously, I think you are, everybody in our office personally, right? We're looking at whatever deals, right? And keeping an open mind. And I think that's the way that we should, and we handle our clients as well. Keep an open mind. If it's an opportunity that makes sense for you, let's talk about it. Let's look at it. Let's go into the numbers. Let's really evaluate it to see if it makes sense.
Yeah. So if someone has questions about real estate or thinking about getting involved, what's the best way to get a hold of you, Nick, if they want to talk to you?
Yeah, sure. You can, you know, call the Realty Growth Office, 507-289-8000. Ask to speak with me or ask to speak with any of the guys on the team. I mean, honestly, it's pretty sweet. We have a really great group of people that I think we all can be very proud of. We're, you know, yes, the company's been around for like 42 years. My dad started in the basement of my grandma's home with a card table and a telephone.
That's so awesome.
But like, the thing is like, I kind of look at us as a startup again. Like, we have a name, which is a big advantage for us. Mm-hmm. We have a name, but we're young. But that doesn't mean anything. Like, we're working hard. Like, we understand these things. We work together. And so really, what's really cool about this is we are building a team that is ready to move forward, mm-hmm, and do this thing together. And I think that's a huge difference. Like, it's not individualistic. And that's what I love about our team. We're here to help each other out. We're here to work together. We're here for a common goal.
Yep.
And so, honestly, I would say, yeah, you can call me. Sure, call me. But you know what? But call Realty Growth.
Because you're really going to get, if they call you, they're probably going to get all of us.
You're going to get the whole team. I mean, and that's, I think that's really cool. Like, for sure. Like, yeah, you want to set up a meeting. Okay, well, I'm going to bring someone else along for sure.
Yeah, that's one thing we do a lot. And so, and then maybe this is something great for the audience. What's the benefit to RGI and the way we do things? How does that, because you talked about us collaborating, and we collaborate on a lot of stuff in-house with each other. How does that work in the client's best interest?
Yeah, I think it's different perspectives, right? We all have different perspectives, mm-hmm, and we all have our things that we're really good at and things that we're not. And so when you put a group of people together that have different things that they're good at, you really create something fantastic and something that's super advantageous for the clients. For instance, I mean, Bucky, we all know Bucky is like the marketing guru. Everybody knows who Bucky Beeman is. They love his market update. Like, it's super cool. I can't do that, Tanner. I can't do that. Like, if you said, Nick, post a social media post, you can go on my Instagram and you'll see like two posts. It's because, first of all, I don't know what content I should put out there. Like, I really don't. And second of all, I'm helpless. I mean, I say I'm an old guy. I don't know if 33 years old is old, but like, I don't know. I had two older brothers who kind of like took care of like all the Nintendo stuff and all the electronic stuff. And I never had to like learn how to do any of that stuff. And I kind of feel like I just kind of maintain that mentality with like social media and like Facebook. Like, if you told me to do something on there, I'd be like, I really don't know how to do it. So like, I'm afraid of it. I like it. I think it's cool. I think, mm-hmm, there's definite benefits to it. So, you know, we all bring something special to the table. Like, Tanner, for example, you know residential better than anybody in the office. I don't know much about residential. I think I've helped like two buddies buy a house, and it's like, I don't know. Like, did I do it like the way that I'm supposed to do it? Like,
sure.
You know? So like, I think by having all those different perspectives and all those people in the office that have their own niche and what they're good at, like Dylan, right? You talked to Dylan last week.
Yep.
He's so good with multifamily. It's like, oh, awesome. Yeah. I mean, it's just like, he's super great. Cool because he gets it, right? He gets it. He's lived it. I mean, mm-hmm, you know, and so I think by having a team that kind of brings all these different perspectives, it's super advantageous because everybody has an opinion, everybody has their strengths, and combined, you really create like a powerhouse, if you will, like something really cool.
Right. And that only works when we're playing tests. It only works to the the client's advantage when we share each other, share in each other's expertise like that. Yeah. And I think that's something to toot our own horn that we do really well.
Right. And it's about fostering education. I think education is such a huge part of what we do and making our clients feel comfortable because we have to, like, we need to build on these relationships. This is the only way that it's sustainable for mm-hmm. our company, right? Is to build on these relationships and focus on our clients and do what's best for them. And a big way of doing that is by educating them.
What is something that comes up in education with clients more often than not? Do you find yourself going through some of the same things? Because yeah. I'm just thinking ahead here for maybe a future episode, we could pick one of those things yeah. and really kind of flesh it out.
No, for sure. I think oftentimes, like with investments, like sometimes people just think, oh, you know, I put a dollar in and I get $5 out. There's a little bit more to that. And I think it's really important to, I know my dad always spoke about this to us about, you know, education and the importance of that and understanding the art of the deal and why something might be good or not. And so I know we use these forms that help us evaluate whether or not an investment is a potentially good investment or not. Mm-hmm. And I think just walking through that with your client and showing them, because anybody can sell you anything, right? Anybody can say, oh, this is a good investment.
Sure.
But when you actually prove go it. Through the numbers and prove it, like, it makes a huge difference. And then it's like, oh my gosh. And you can go line by line with these. I mean, it's a great thing that we have. Go line by line. You can explain to them, you know, what is net income? What is cash flow? What is this? You know, it makes a difference because a lot of people actually don't, they don't know this. So it's about educating.
Right. And we've thrown out even in this podcast, we've thrown out a lot of terms.
Yeah.
You know, what's a REIT? What is, right. you know, a and triple, you know what? That's one I like to throw.
Yeah, that might be a great thing to do. Like, I know maybe we could do like something real quick. It'd be like a 3-minute episode of like top 10 commercial real estate terms that yep, everybody terms, should know, you know,
those like, sheets. And I would say, if cool. any, yeah. And if anybody's listening and you want some education, feel free to reach out to us.
Yeah.
I mean, like Nick said, this is something that we do all the time. We'd love to do it for you.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's just so important. We want people to get interested in real estate like we are. Like, we're all mm-hmm. super passionate, super interested.
That's why we're in it. We love it.
We're in it. We love it. This is what we do. So utilize us. Talk yeah. to us. Like, let's hang out. Let's go grab a coffee. Shout out to Cafe Steam.
Oh, yeah.
We got our mochas. It's pretty sweet. You know, it's giving us all this energy.
Local businesses.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, we're here. And cool. I mean, this is what we do.
Yeah, we want to be accessible. And that's one reason we're doing the podcast. So we want to be accessible to you guys. We want to be accessible to you, answer your questions, meet with you guys. And like Nick said, we'll have a coffee with you. We'll talk with yeah. you about commercial real estate. And yeah. we'd love to.
We love to. This is what we do. It's great. It gets us excited.
Yeah. Anything else for our audience you'd love to leave them with? A nugget of wisdom, anything? We've covered a lot.
So. Yeah, I would just say, you know, if you're already in the game, stay the course. You know, don't sweat the hard stuff. Like, you know what, things will work themselves out. And for those that are looking at getting into real estate, be patient because, you know, the last thing that you want to do is to get into a property and it, is something that just doesn't work out. Obviously we don't want that because we want to build that relationship. We want you to come back time and time and time again and build this relationship up for years. So patience is key, whether you're a buyer or a seller.
Mm-hmm.
And just stay the course and educate yourself.
I like whether it. That education. Means,
yeah, education.
Education.
Yeah.
And we can help.
And we can help, and we'd love to help.
All right, Nick. Thanks, man. Thanks, and thank man. You all for tuning in to the third episode of the Realty Growth Report.